Hello, I'm Mike Patra, and I'm the host of the Hoopball DFS Today podcast. Come join us as we go game by game, breaking down our top plays, fades, values, pivots, and talk overall strategy for both tournaments and cash games. And the best part, we're doing this 7 days a week. So come check us out. That's Hoopball DFS Today. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Mike Apatria, for any updates, listener contests, and DFS information.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hoopballers, welcome back to another episode of Today in Sports Betting. It is Friday around lunchtime on the East Coast, and we have a fantastic, fantastic show for you today. We have a special guest on to talk about his involvement in the sports betting industry, and I couldn't be more excited. Before we go ahead and introduce him, let's give a shout out to our sponsors over at Manscaped.com. They got the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, and their water-resistant technology is unbelievable. Allows you to groom in the shower. Go over to Manscaped.com, type in the promo code HOOPBALL20. That's HOOPBALL20 at Manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping. Guys, we have Mike Palm, the Vice President of Operations for the D, Golden Gate, and Circa, with us today. Mike, how are you?
Good morning, Ira. I'm great. Happy Friday to you, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm really excited, Mike. I've been a fan of yours for a long time, so it's almost like one of those things that you think you'll never get to do is have your own show and then go ahead and have some guests on that you've been looking up to in the industry for such a long time. You know, I'm a big, back in my day when I first got started in the sports betting industry, I used to listen to VSiN all the time, so that's kind of how I got introduced to you. And now here I am hosting Today in Sports Betting and have you on the show. So I'm really excited about it, and we got some fun stuff to talk about today.
It's too much of a lead-up. You know, you have to manage expectations. So you never wanna under-deliver, so let's temper it down a little bit.
All right, Mike. And just on cue, Mike, with his great personality – guys, so what we're going to do today is talk to Mike a little bit about how he got started in the industry. Then we're going to get into some series prices and talk a little bit about maybe some picks for Friday or Saturday. Mike, so, you know, you've had so much success in the sports betting and sportsbook industry. You know, how did you get your start? You know, what set you down this path? And was it a little taboo for you? Were your friends and family a little, you know, disappointed in you, or how did that come about, and how did you get to where you are today?
Well, let's start with just how I got into gaming, Ira, and because that'll lead into the story of Derek Stevens and the involvement that I have now in the industry. I went to school at Notre Dame. I'm originally from Iowa. Went to Notre Dame. I was in the seminary program there for a couple years. Actually, I decided I didn't want to be a priest, but I wanted to be a school teacher. Went back to Iowa and was teaching school after I graduated, teaching in a Catholic school in Boone, Iowa, coaching three sports and making $16,800 a year. So in the summers, I picked up a job dealing poker. And I was making more in 2.5 months dealing poker than I was teaching school. So I went back for a second year of teaching school and then sort of transitioned into the gaming industry. And, you know, for the last 24 years, I've been involved in the gaming industry, mostly from a table games perspective. I had the opportunity to work in the Chicagoland market, went to Atlantic City when the Borgata opened for a year, came back to the Midwest for a year and then out to Vegas in 2005. I started working at Fitzgerald's, which is now the D, in 2006. And, you know, Derek Stevens purchased the property in 2011, rebranded it to the D. And so with his involvement, one of his dreams was always to have his own sports book. We had a William Hill sports book here at the D, and then a kiosk at Golden Gate, started to put together a sports book team about 2 years ago, and we officially launched our sports book June 1st, 2019, Circa Sports. Of course, this is the precursor to the big resort that we're opening next month, Circa. And so it took the brand name on of Circa Sports. And we've just, I tell you, couldn't be happier. The first 15 months we've been in existence, how good Matt Metcalf, Chris Bennett, his team, have done. Jeff Benson, the operations manager, Mike Van Erman, who's the guy responsible for spreading the brand. You know, we're in Colorado now as a mobile app. We're going to be at the Tuscany just off the strip starting in March. He's done. And Jeff Davis, we just added to the team, former director at Caesars. So it's a tremendous team. I think we've gotten our name out there for being an old school bookmaker, offering reasonable prices, great odds, less takeout, and reasonable limits. And you know, we've had to get our foot in the door. It's a lower hold model, but we've done well. As far as from the other side of the counter, from the betting side, you know, I've always been involved in betting. I mean, even when I was a teenager in betting sports, and had continued to do so. Derek was a great visionary. I remember it's almost 4 years ago. He said, let's go down to the South Point and have lunch with Brent Musburger and his nephew. They're going to launch this new sports betting network. Of course, this is before PASPA. You know, we only have it in Nevada. And they're going to launch this from South Point's building. Just, let's have lunch with them and talk about it. And I thought, well, this is really a long shot that this is going to take off. I mean, so few people have, you know, really have access to sports betting legally. And we had lunch with him, and he got in on the ground floor there with VSiN and became an original investor. And so, I mean, the story's told itself. Everybody is aware of VSiN and the tremendous success that it's had. But so part of the part of that first fall that they were in operation, the original My Guys in the Desert was a show that was on the weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays with Brent and Vinny and Amal. And so the first college football Saturday, they had Derek on to do a 15-minute segment. And then they had him on the next Saturday and Sunday. And he said, Mike, this is hard to do. This is hard to talk for 15 minutes about sports and giving kicks. He goes, why don't you start coming on with me? We can help get me through the 15 minutes. And I said, okay. And I went on with him the next week. And sort of that's where it all started. And it went from doing that once a week to probably being on the network at some point 6 days a week, and, you know, hosting Follow the Money when Paulie and Mitch are on vacation, and, you know, being a regular on that show every Wednesday, and doing Lombardi and doing Jonathan's show, and doing, you know, we've done My Guys every year now. It's a Thursday, 3 o'clock Pacific spot. So I've had a lot of fun doing that. I do Gil's podcast, Gil Alexander, host of a numbers game, that Megapod, beating the book Megapod, this is a 10th season. So I joined it last year. So we do that every week. So I've gotten out there to where this is sort of my second full-time job with creating some good sports betting content and picking some winners here and there.
I love it. I love the story. I actually just had Gil on the show maybe about 2 weeks ago. So I feel like I'm part of VSiN, you know, in some sort of way at this point, you know, just getting to know everybody and, you know, having great conversations with them. My question for you is Amal ever going to make a pick? Because it seems like, especially when I used to listen religiously, he's always like, nah, I'm going to lay off that game, you know?
Well, I sort of had a fun rivalry. I'm really good friends with them all, but we have a fun rivalry with him about, you know, every game is a pass for him.
Yeah.
And he actually bets, and we send each other bets. He does a lot of in-game betting. I mean, and when he bets, he bets. He bets, you know, from 500 to 4,000 on a game. But as a radio personality, it's frustrating, I think, for fans when you give out so few picks. So, like, yeah. He went up as he was just getting back on. I'm doing Lombardi Line at 8 Pacific on Saturdays, and he's going to do it on Sundays and host the show later that he does, the Green Zone or whatever it's called now, with Adam Candy. But, you know, he did two segments, and after the first segment, I texted Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher, and I said, I make it 2:40 now. He's only got 6 minutes left. The audience is going to get nothing to bet. So they read the text to him on air, and he goaded him into giving Osaka Petra Kvitova parlay, and of course Kvitova lost. So I'm having some fun with that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I used to laugh all the time, especially with your little rivalry talking about that. So it's fun to revisit that. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of VSiN, obviously. You know, my favorite show was, or you know, still is, probably, you know, outside of this podcast, obviously, is Follow the Money, Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard. They are probably the best radio duo I've ever heard, just with their personalities and their banter. And Pauly is just one of the funniest people I've ever had to listen to in my entire life. So I love when you're on the show, and I love, you know, just listening to them. So it's a lot of fun. And that's kind of how I really got into wanting to do a podcast about sports betting. It was really like I was listening to Pauly and Mitch every morning, and you know, obviously with you and all the guests, you know, Charchian and everybody from different sports books, and you know, John Murray, etc. So that's kind of how I got started. So I appreciate you coming on, and yeah, thanks for letting us know about, you know, the funny thing about you and I is I was actually in seminary as well, not in that religion, but you know, I'm Jewish, and I spent 2 years in the Holy Land studying, you know, the Bible and in a religious kind of you know, Bible study environment. So that's pretty funny. How did you meet Derek Stevens, and how did you kind of grow with him? I mean, he really is, you know, kind of a trailblazer into the past, right? You know, this a lot of the sports books now have become so corporate and so much red tape. And I just love kind of how he runs the operation over there. So how did you kind of link up with him?
So I came, as he says, as part of a real estate acquisition. I was working at Fitzgerald's when he bought the building from the Barden estate. Don Barden was our owner, and he passed. And so the estate put the property up for sale. Derek had a 50% ownership in the Golden Gate down the street. And he wanted to buy into another casino that had a larger hotel product. Golden Gate's a small niche property. And the first time I met him, I didn't know who he was, really. I was running a poker tournament here at Fitzgerald's, and he and Dave Tuttle, who's our COO now, came up and just started asking me some questions about the tournaments and the poker room and all that. And I had no idea really who they were. And then a couple months later, it was announced that he was buying the property, and all the department heads had a sit-down meeting with Derek and Dave within the first 2 weeks when they took over. And I actually was working as two jobs at the time. I was working full-time also at the Venetian in the poker room. And wow. Yeah. And so the meeting I had with them was, they said, you know, our intention is to close the poker room. We'll meet with you again in 48 hours. We'd like you to present your reasons why or why not you think that's a good decision. So I sat there for 2 days, and I put together all these lists and stats and all the peripheral income. I went through all the players that played in the poker room, that if we didn't have a poker room, would they go to the Golden Nugget? Would they go to the Venetian? Would they go to the Wynn? Would they go play in a different poker room? We'd lose their slot play, their wife's slot play, their game, you know, table games, all that. And I put this whole presentation together for them, and I thought it was terrific, and they listened, and at the end they said, yeah, we're going to close the poker room. And I said,
you're like, what are we doing? Well, you asked me to present this whole thing, yeah. And now it's just no, you know.
Yeah, I said, well, now what? You know, what's for me? So I'm thinking, well, at least I have this job at the Venetian, right? And I was running a keno and specialty games at the time as well as poker. But they said, you seem to know a lot about sports. And, like, what do you know about, like, running the TVs and running content on TVs and that? And I said, well, I mean, I have two TVs at home. I could do it for two TVs, but they're like, well, we're going to build a big bar. We're going to tear out the best slot section in the whole casino down on the first floor by the entrance. We're going to build a long bar. We're going to call it Long Bar. We're going to have 15, 70-inch TVs, and we need somebody that can run that bar and have the right sports on, and it's going to be the greatest place to watch sports downtown. And we'd like you to be responsible for that. And then also, how about you do the tournaments and special events and host the parties and keep running Keno and let's see where it goes. And by the way, we really need you to make a decision. We don't think you can work two full-time jobs. So we'd like to, by the end of the week, figure out if you're going to stay at the Venetian or you're going to stay here. And so I went home and I talked to my wife and I said, boy, I don't know. This guy seems like a great entrepreneur. He's so successful in his manufacturing business in Michigan. And he's a gambler. He gets it. He knows it from that perspective. And at the same time, what a beautiful property the Venetian is, tremendous benefits, a lot of job security, right? So I said, well, let's take a shot. And there's probably a much higher ceiling for me here if I stay. And that's what I did. And I mean, and I've just grown with the company and it's been so good. And now we're at the point we're going to open this mega resort with the world's largest sports book and this unbelievable two-story pool focused on sports content and this great sports book. So, you know, I got lucky. You get lucky in life. A lot of it is happenstance, right? I mean, it's like the law of propinquity of who you marry. Well, you're only going to marry somebody you met, right? You can't, you know, so you meet certain people in life and your brakes go one way or the other and you make decisions and that's how your path goes. So I've been very fortunate that, you know, Derek's shown an interest in me and mentored me in the business. And here we are today. And like Paulie Howard says, he thinks it's one of the top five jobs in the world. You know, I run a casino. I get to be responsible for the TV. So when I'm betting, I'm watching the games I'm betting as well. There's just too many meetings. So he sort of lowered the power ranking down to top 10.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, it really, that's probably one of the things that kills me the most is when I'm at a casino or I'm at a bar or I'm at a restaurant with a bar. They got five TVs. They got one game on and the rest is like reruns of Law and Order. And I'm like, hey dude, I got like $1,000 on this game. Do you mind putting it to ESPN? You know what I mean? So yeah, content, I know you're a big proponent of that. So yeah, hats off to you there. Speaking of, you know, running tournaments and things like that, the Circa Millions contest, you can see I got my hat here, Mike. I've played in it now. This is my second year playing in the contest, my third year playing in the super contest over at the Westgate. Derek guaranteed, what, about $3 million, right, this year? And then COVID.
Yeah, so.
And then COVID hit. So that must have been an experience. So I want to know, you know, talk to me about how the Circa Millions came about and tell me how anxious you were this year, you know, leading up to week one with the big overlay.
So when we launched June 1st last year, we came out with the Circa Million, right? The first year. And we wanted to do the five games against the spread NFL each week. And so Derek wanted to set a guaranteed pool. We didn't know. We were nobody. We were a new brand. Nobody even knew our name. And we only really had 3 months to get signups. So he said, let's do a $1.5 million guarantee, $1 million to the winner. And then we were going to do something. We're going to play the quarters, right? $125,000 a quarter.
Yep.
So that it really became five contests, four mini contests, and then the overall big. And we only paid 10 spots because we had no idea how many people we were going to get. And last year, 3 weeks out, we had 300 entries, and we were like, oh, God, we were going to have $1 million overlay. And we had a tremendous rush late, and we got 1,875 entries. So now we're sitting there right after Super Bowl, and we're in a meeting up on the 12th floor here at the D, and Derek says, number one, I want to introduce a last man standing, a survivor contest. And number two, I want to expand the guarantee in the million because I think we're really growing now and, you know, we can get a lot more people. So let's guarantee $3 million in the Circa Million 2 and $1 million in the Survivor. So we need 1,000 entries in Survivor. Now we need 3,000 to break even in Circa Million 2. Well, then all of a sudden we have the pandemic hit. We're closed for 11 weeks. The air travel goes to zero. And we're like, oh, what are we going to do? Are you know, people would understand if you lower the guarantee. We only have a couple dozen people signed up, right? And if they want their money back, we'll give them their money back. Derek said, no, we're going to work through this. We're going to put our foot on the gas. We're going to accelerate the marketing. We're going to go on every show known to man. We're going to talk about it. We're going to do our TV ads. And you know, 3 weeks out, we were sitting at about 500 this year. 500 and maybe 200 in the Survivor. The Survivor really picked up steam before the million too. And we pretty well knew a week and a half out we were going to get to the 1,000, and we ended up with 1,390. But we had such a rush the last 2 weeks at Circa Million 2. We're doing 300, 400, 500 entries a day and ended up with 3,148. So it was really an incredible story that we actually exceeded, and there was no overlay.
It's unbelievable because I registered maybe 5 or 6 days. I can't remember exactly. 5 or 6 days before week one kicked off. And I think the overlay when I came to town was right around $1 million. And I couldn't believe it. I actually, you know, I live in Miami, so I was going to fly and then to register. I mean, I want to play it every year. And then the pandemic hit and things were serious and nobody really knew a lot of information about the disease. And I was like, well, maybe I won't go to Vegas this year just because, you know, I'm a little scared to fly and things like that. And then I ended up going down to Mexico to train with my cousin who's training for the PGA Tour. He's trying to make the tour. And so I was in Mexico and, you know, my thoughts, not necessarily my thoughts on the virus, but, you know, we know a little bit more information on it now. And since I was on the West Coast, I flew from San Diego, Vegas, spent one night in Vegas, registered for the contest, and then flew back home. So I'm happy I did. And I'm a big proponent, you know, I'm a poker player myself for many, many years. I'm a big proponent in terms of guarantees. If you build it, they will come. You know, people can't resist the overlay. And that's not why I play. I just play because I really enjoy being a part of it. And I love trying to pick five games against the spread every week in the NFL. And, you know, if I'm going to spend X amount of dollars betting on the NFL every week, I may as well allocate some of my bankroll to entering these contests. When else am I going to get a shot to turn $1,000 or $1,500 into $1 million or $1.5 million? You know what I mean? So that's kind of where that's how I think about the contest in terms of my bankroll. So yeah, I'm so happy with what you guys are doing over there with everything. I can't wait to stay at the new resort, by the way.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. So on October 28th, we're opening the casino and the pool and the restaurants. The hotel will open in late December. We're hoping mid-December, but we're guaranteeing late December.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Remember, with COVID, the big issue was, well, two things. One, it was good in that we could work around the clock because we didn't have any neighbors with their businesses going, right, for those 11 weeks. But the bad thing was, with social distancing, instead of getting 20 guys up on the elevator to build the tower, you could only have four. So it really hampered the hotel. So we were able to get the casino and the five-floor podium done early, but not the hotel tower. So the hotel won't open till later. But, yeah, fantastic room product, almost 100 suites. It's going to be really great. How many entries did you get in the Circa Million 2, Ira?
So I entered one. I'm not a big Survivor pool guy, so I didn't enter that. I was thinking about it, and then I just shied away from it. I decided to play Circa Millions 2 and, you know, the Super Contest as well. So those were the two contests I entered. My picks last week went 2 and 3. You know, week one is always tough. You know, you never really know what team you're going to get, you know, and now with more information, you get to break down the tapes and look at the teams and kind of see the defense on and the offense on both sides of the ball and see how they're playing. But yeah, I mean, talk about Circa Millions. You probably can't play, but I mean, I know you come on to the show. I know, you know, Brett Musburger always talks about his picks with the Super Contest and has John Murray give him a pick every week and like that. What are your overall thoughts from week one of an NFL? I mean, my overall thought was just, it's kind of like the NBA bubble in the first, you know, before the playoffs really started. It's just like, seems like offenses are just dominating defenses. There's not a lot of noise out there. There's no crowds, obviously. So the offenses have a lot more, you know, fluid motions. and being able to speak with them and talk to them inside the huddle and being able to communicate. Any takeaways from week one in the NFL for you besides the flop Jalen Ramsey on Sunday Night Football?
Well, I thought the people that missed the preseason the most were the officials. I think they've been freaking awful.
Horrible.
And how about the first play of the game last night? The guy's out of bounds by 5 yards, and they have to use a challenge to get the correct call.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's really been pretty bad. And, of course, Sunday, Tony Corrente is always confused. I mean, they used to have the mandatory retirement age, and then they got sued by Ben Dreyf, so they dropped that. But
yep.
Corrente, remember he called in the playoff game that when the Bills back flipped him the ball after the kickoff and he called it a safety or a touchdown?
Yep.
He horrible. Didn't even know what was going on. I mean, and they were confused. But
those two must make your no hyperbole list, right?
Yeah, I get to do that. I get to do that every week. The coaching, playing, and referee and organizational blunders each week. So I all summer I talked about if there's nobody in the stands, don't these totals have to get adjusted up 4, 5, or 6 points? And they really weren't. I thought maybe we saw 1.5, 2 on most games. But, you know, in the NFL, if it's 3rd and 7 or longer, the crowd's on their feet in every stadium where the game's still a competitive game. And it's so hard to audible. And not only the false starts, but just the offensive line firing all at one time and that noise. You don't have that anymore. The road team point averages, I think, are going to be up significantly this year because of that. That's one takeaway. For me, I can't enter the contests here. I don't enter like the Westgate. Even though it's a terrific contest, I just think it's hard to pick 5 games. The NFL numbers are so tight.
Yeah,
look at that number last night, 6. I mean, come on. I mean, it's so tough. If I make 3 NFL picks in a whole weekend, that's a lot. And a lot of it is totals for me. So it's really hard. I would have played Survivor. And so Derek and I did for Matt Eumanns on his show, now that he's doing my guys, a mythical 4 entries starting out and just – for fun, if we were really in it. So Derek did a double option where he picked opposite. He picked 2 Colts, 2 Jaguars just to get 2 to move on. I just tried to pick 4 winners, and I went 1 and 3, so I'm down to 1 entry.
Wow.
I
mean,
I had the Colts, loser, 49ers, probably should have won, but lost. Sickening Detroit Lions loss. I mean, I still can't believe they lost that game. And then I barely escaped Denver with Tennessee on Monday night. So, I mean, I used Cleveland in this mythical thing last night, so I advanced. Derek's got 2 on Tennessee, so if they get upset, maybe I have a chance of beating them in the cup. But it's tough. Even just picking a winner is tough. And then it gets interesting later in the year when you can only use the team once. And for our contest, we made Thanksgiving Day its own week.
Oh, wow. Wow. I mean,
yes. You have to save at least 2 of those 6 teams if you're still in on Thanksgiving Day. I mean, people probably saving Dallas against the Washington football team for Thanksgiving, but it's really interesting. Or maybe the contest doesn't even get that far. Maybe, if, you know, we had 1,390 entries. We're down to 805 after week one.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, NFL is so, so, so tough. It happens to be one of my best sports, but I would say I like to bet on teams where the public is super low on one team and they're super high on the other side. So that's kind of how I strategize when I play NFL in terms of the lines and kind of how the public and the overall sentiment in the market views one team over another. So, yeah, I know I'm just excited. Hopefully I have a better week this week and can move up the leaderboard and maybe take down that prize and come out to Vegas and meet you guys in person. Maybe we'll get to party together at the new hotel. So I know you're, I follow you on Twitter, longtime follower. You got the palm readers. I know you give out picks all the time. You're big into baseball and hockey. I know, because I listen to the show, I know you had Dallas before the season. I believe it was, 12-1 before the season?
15-1.
15-1. And things looked rough real early in the season for Dallas. I mean, I'm a big hockey guy. It's my favorite sport. I love betting it as well. I had Vegas Golden Knights futures at 10-1, so I'm kind of a little upset that they upset Vegas. But now you're in a good spot. I do have the Lightning at 7-1 to win the Cup. Now, the series prices, you know, with the Lightning advancing last night against the Islanders, what are your overall takes on this series? And with the Lightning being a huge, huge favorite in this series, do you think Dallas has a chance? Are you hedging your position with Dallas?
So, several questions there. One, I had 500 on Dallas at plus 1,500 preseason. This is back in September 19. And I bet 500 on the Islanders at 30-1. Those were my two future tickets. So I waited, and when the Stars eliminated the Knights and the Islanders were down 3-1, then I bet Tampa minus 140 to win the Cup. So I laid 3,500 to win 2,500. Now, the best thing would have been if the Islanders came back and I had Dallas and the Islanders, but I thought that was very unlikely at that point. If it would have been 2-2, I would have just let it go. And then at 3-2, I might have hedged a game. So my results now, overall with the future tickets, the three of them, if Dallas wins, I profit 4,000. If Tampa wins, I profit 2,000. So, I mean, I have a $2,000 better result to Dallas. That being said, I don't Paulie and I made a bet for lunch. He thought the price would be 180. I thought it would be 220. And so we made a bet. If it was 200 or higher, he was buying me lunch. If it was less than $2, I owed him lunch. Of course, it came out 220 right on the number.
Right on the number.
Yeah, they bet Dallas. I see it's down to $2 in some places, but still 215, 210, 220 other places. That's about right to me. I mean, I can understand that. Look, when I bet the Islanders in Dallas, I based it really on two things. I love the two coaches, and they both had solid backups, okay? Khudobin's a solid backup. So is Greiss, right? And really, they played them 1A and 1B throughout the first part of the year, especially had that 17-game point streak. They were going Varlamov, Greiss, and rotating. It was a straight platoon almost, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So Varlamov obviously sees the job later in the year and then into the playoffs, but I really didn't like my Dallas ticket once they fired Jim Montgomery. I'm a huge Jim Montgomery fan. Jim Montgomery's won everywhere he went. University of Denver, my hometown, Dubuque, Iowa, with the Dubuque Fighting Saints when they brought that franchise back. I love Jim Montgomery. He got himself into some trouble. He was released. There's several stories we've heard, but I know alcohol was involved as part of it, but there was some other things. So, you know, Rick Bonus has been around for 50 years in the league, but I just like the defensive mentality. And then Ben Bishop is all of a sudden unfit to play, right?
And when he comes back, he looks absolutely like a different, like Jekyll and Hyde, night and day. It's like a different goalie.
He was actually unfit when he played. I mean, he was horrific against Calgary in the first, 13 minutes of the game. He gave up four goals.
Horrible.
Oh, it's just awful. I didn't even know who he was. But so now you're stuck with a backup goalie and a backup, and they've just somehow they found scoring for other than their top line, you know, and Khudobin's been decent. I don't think he's been great. I mean, I thought Leonard was the better goaltender in the series, you know. So Vasilevsky is clearly the better of the two goalies to me. Tampa lacks the punch that they had without Stamkos, and I know they've had lingering injuries where guys have missed parts of games, but they're just so solid. It will really surprise me if Dallas wins the series. If they can steal one of the first couple games, I mean, they're going to have to play that style. They're not going to be able to play like they so wide open like they did against Colorado. They're just not going to be able to do that because the goaltending is a lot better. I mean, Colorado, remember, didn't have Grubauer in that series as well. So I think Dallas is fortunate. They're fortunate they got to this point. And now, I mean, I'm rooting for them, but I think the price is right at about $2 with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of head coaching, I still don't understand how the Golden Knights went ahead and fired Gallant and hired DeBoer. Like, that makes zero sense. Obviously, they have a fantastic team. Leonard is probably, in my opinion, probably the best goalie in the National Hockey League. That's just my take. I don't know if you think it's a coaching problem in Vegas. What do you think happened there in that series? It's very disappointing to me.
I thought you saw it in the series against Vancouver the last three games. their quality of their chances, forget the shots on goal. It's a misleading statistic. Mm-hmm. The quality of the chances is much more, but the quality of their shots is horrible. None of these guys want to go to the net. They don't get any presence in front of the net. I mean, the goal they won, I give DeBoer credit for this, the goal they scored, they won in game seven against Vancouver, came at the start of the power play, and he called the timeout to set up the screen play, and it worked. I mean, that's the only goal they scored. They could still be playing. It could still be 0-0 2 weeks later if they hadn't scored that goal. So, I mean, I think they need to make some moves in the offseason. I've never been a big Tuck fan, and I know he comes and he eats at Andiamo here at the D all the time, but I think he plays he just plays too much in his own to his own drummer there, and Schmidt needs to either get back on the juice or do something else or move out. I don't know. I think there's some moves they can make. I don't know. I didn't like firing Gallant, but I mean I don't blame DeBoer. So I mean poor Gallant. I mean all he did was take him to a final, got screwed out of the game seven in San Jose by a horrific call that made the NHL change their rules on replaying majors, and I mean the whole Pacific Division, four teams were within 6 points of each other the whole season. So, I mean, that just fell as it fell. You know what I mean? Vegas had the advantage of the season being shortened that they didn't have. They were supposed to play 10 of their last 14 on the road. So they really lucked into the three seed and then played well for three games to get the one seed. So there was a lot of fortunate things to get them to that spot. But, you know, I don't blame Leonard and I certainly don't blame DeBoer. I think they'll make some changes. They have a really good organization. Great ownership, a great GM, and I'm confident they'll be back in a strong contender next year.
Before we move on to baseball, I think that the Canucks are going to be very, very, very good. Love Toffoli. Markstrom is very capable in net, and the whole cast over there. I mean, Quinn and everybody. I really like the Canucks moving forward, just out of what I saw from them in the bubble.
Yeah, they're an exciting team, and they got a great future ahead of them. I think, you know, maybe next year, but this is a team 2, 3, 4 years out will probably be right there as talking about most points in the Western Conference for a while.
Yep. All right. So, Mike, I know you're a big fan of the first fives in baseball. How do you kind of look at these games and really focus on the derivative markers of the first five? And is there anything you like, you know, statistic-wise when you're looking at these first fives?
Well, the reason I play first fives is because these bullpens are just a total fiasco.
Horrible.
I mean, even the bullpens that are supposed to be good, I mean, are they good? They're just not consistent. I mean, I thought the Padres would have the best bullpen, I bet you they blew 4 or 5 games in the first 3 weeks of the season with the bullpen where they blew 3, 4 run leads and were doing consistently. You know, the White Sox have a sneaky bullpen. I really like this White Sox team. I think they've got a real legitimate shot to win the World Series this year. They're a fun team. They've been pointing to this, and if they can get the starting pitching, I know you saw Rodrigo Lopez go toe-to-toe with my guy Maeda yesterday. I mean,
that was shocking.
Can get those kind of performances. You know what I mean? You've got Giolito looking like he did last year. You get a little bit. Keuchel's been a great pickup for them, giving them consistency. Giving them consistency, and then the guy Dylan Cease, who I used to call Deceased last year because he struggled. He struggled in his freshman campaign, but I mean he's got great stuff too. So you're going to need a fourth starter somewhere because you know those next series, the division series and the league championships, no days off. I mean there's no days off at all. So. The first series, like the Reds, if the Reds can get in, and I have a ticket on them at 20-1 to win the National League.
They can't hit.
Paulie keeps saying, what are the totals going to be, 5.5? If they can get in, who wants to face Sonny Gray, Bauer, and Castillo in a 3-game series? Nobody really, but they hit in 220. I mean, who is Joey Votto? I mean, he doesn't even look like a guy he was 3 years ago. And Castellanos, for as good as he can look, he's still a 230 hitter. So I just – they're better than that. Galvez is better than that, but they haven't hit. Winkler's actually probably been their best hitter over the last 2 or 3 weeks. But anyhow, if they can get in. But I like to isolate it to the first fives. I like to play totals. If you can get a total of 5, with some of these pitchers that are not as well known and publicly backed, and I give examples like – and he did it last night. The problem was Dakota Hudson came out. Brault for Pittsburgh. I love betting Brault first 5 unders. I love betting Brad Keller in Kansas City, but now he's suddenly pitched so well this year, the market's catching up to him, and now the totals are 4. But I love these 5s. You got to score 6 runs in the first 5 innings to beat you. So you'll see a lot of first 5 unders from me. And then I like to just isolate starting pitchers and bet them first 5. I have 2 plays today, dogs in the first 5 that I took. I like the D-backs at Houston, and I took Gallen at plus 151 the first 5 against Greinke. I mean, Gallen's pitched a bad luck this year. His numbers are excellent. They just haven't scored many runs for him. And the D-backs really picked their bats up in this series in Anaheim. I mean, they scored a ton of runs. I hope they can carry it over tonight. If they can get him 3 in the first 5, I think I'll be in good shape. And then I'm going to fade Panic, and I'm going to take Yusei Kikuchi, I say Tomato tonight, at plus 165. In the first 5. So 2 dog plays tonight.
I love it. I love it. I love the first 5s, and you actually turned me on to it a couple, you know, maybe about a year or two ago. The first 5 unders. I mean, it's a great sweat. It's a lot of fun. And especially if you can find, like you said, these pitchers who are not as well known and who actually have good numbers and the market just hasn't caught up to them, you can really, you know, jump on them. And I love the 5s. First 5 under 5 or under 6. Like, I've been playing a lot of first 5 under 6.5 with the Rockies a lot this year, and it's been pretty profitable. So these big numbers, unless you're really going up against such a star-studded lineup like, you know, the Yankees when they're healthy and things like that, these under 5s are a lot of fun to bet and a lot of, you know, fun to sweat. So any football picks, any college football for you before we go?
You know, I'm not even really looking at college football yet. I do like Carolina getting 9 at Tampa Bay in the NFL this week. I just think that number's exaggerated. I'm still not sold on Brady. He didn't do anything in week 1 to convince me he isn't the quarterback he was the last 8 weeks last year. And I like this Carolina. I think Matt Rhule would be better. It was a horrific play call, 4th and inches, not trying to get the ball to McCaffrey or get Bridgewater, you know, out of the pocket with some play action. But that was a great game with the Raiders in Carolina. I thought this game would be a 4.5 or a 5. I can't believe it's 9. So I jumped on that.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that about the Panthers, because I actually made my picks late last night for the Circa Millions contest, and the Panthers are one of my 5. I thought this line should have been 5.5, 6.5, something like that. I think everyone's overreacting to the number. My 5 picks, just so everyone knows: Panthers, Falcons, Dolphins, Vikings, Raiders. Those are my 5 picks for this week. May change, who knows, but those are the 5 that I feel the most comfortable with and what I saw out of the teams, and a little bit of overreaction to the line movement. Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can everyone find you on Twitter? What's your handle?
It's Mike Palm Circa.
Mike, thank you so much. I'm at Ira Silver Magic. We're a HoopBall presentation. We're at HoopBall Gaming on Twitter as well. Thank you so much for joining us, Mike, and hopefully we'll get to have you on again.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, and happy holidays.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.